Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church of Morgan Hill. And this morning you have heard a small portion of our children praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful that God has blessed this congregation with so many children, with so much talent. And we hope that there will be a blessing unto the Lord. If you're a first-time attender to Bethel Baptist, we ask that you would please tear off this section that you received in the program and put it in the offering box. And the pastor would just like to send you a thank you note for your participation here today. And we thank you for coming and to praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us here today. I'd like to begin this morning by reading a portion of Psalm 62, verses 7 and 8. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Blessed is the word of God. I have just one announcement for today. There will be the church business meeting right after this morning service, and we ask you please to stay so that we can discuss what we're going to continue to do here to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at Bethel Baptist. We also encourage you to read the inserts that we put into the bulletin. There's good information for you, and there's also a request for help that we need here at Bethel Baptist Church. Let us open in prayer. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. We praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because thou hast revealed thyself into our heart and into our soul. And we thank thee for thy mercy. Almighty God, help us to serve thee in spirit and truth. Help us, O Lord God, to bring forth thy gospel in truth and purity, and not to hinder it and stifle it in any way, but that you will use it to call thy children into thy kingdom and to edify the body of Christ that is part of you already. We pray for our pastor, O Lord God, that you will be with him as he proclaims the gospel and that you will use him as a vessel of good. We pray, O Lord God, for our nation, the United States of America. Now that election time is finished, O Lord God, we ask that you will put your word and thy mercy and thy grace into these new elected officials, that they may serve you by thy commandments, O Lord God, and to govern the people of this nation. We pray, O Lord God, for the missionaries all over the world and in the United States, and especially for those that we support here at Bethel Baptist Church. May you be with them and their families and keep them from evil, and may you continue to use them to proclaim the gospel, to call more of thy children into thy kingdom. These things we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We ask that you please take the hymnals now and turn to hymn 19 and please stand as we sing praises to God. together.
Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we bring this offering to you, we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, please. My friends, this is Pastor Otero bringing to you just a short word from our church to you. Once again, first and most, we want to emphasize our goal here at our church is to present to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and then also to offer to you any help, any counsel you need, so that you may, by the mercies of God, be blessed by God. So please, if you have a need, do not hesitate to call to 778-2595. Our area code for all these areas, you know, is 408 and then 778-2595. In case you cannot find an answer directly at that moment in the office, I have a private phone number you can call. It's 390-0998. 390-0998. We want to serve you. We want to be of help to the community. And we want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for taking time to hear the gospel of our Lord. We pray that God will bless you with his knowledge. We pray that God be real to you, and that you, as a result of that, may serve him with power. May God bless you today and forevermore. Let's join the service in progress.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. How true it is. Jesus is all we need. Matter of fact, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you will find in that Bible on page 60 the reading for this morning. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his oxen, nor his ass, nor anything that is in thy neighbor's. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name, the holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us, who paid the price for our sins, who shed his precious blood to atonement for our shortcomings against thee, Almighty God. Help us, O Lord God, to serve thee in spirit and truth, to be obedient unto thy will and thy way in our lives, to live by thy Spirit according to thy word, to glorify thy holy name in this dark place. For you have called us to be lights, O Father. Help us to shine forth. We pray, O Lord God, that you will be with thy servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims the gospel light into a dark place. May you illuminate the hearts of those who are still in darkness, and may you strengthen those that you have called out of darkness to serve thee in spirit and truth. Let thy will be done this day, O Lord God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
To you, I give all.
Thank you, Mr. Noriel. Just gorgeous, marvelous, wonderful. I want to bring up before the sermon this morning some greetings from people. I knew it was going to be a good week for me. On Tuesday, I received a beautiful letter from a student. We have 38,000 students in our school. 9 or 10,000 are active. And they pass by as I correct and sign their papers, 2,000 of them per week as they take exams. The one student came back, you know, one of those like Jesus, turned back and wrote a letter and said, thank you for 4.5 years. You have been my mentor and my teacher. And now I'm going to use what you taught me. And I can't believe it, all the things he said I taught him. But it's just so beautiful when somebody said thank you. And as I was ministering in 2 or 3 places this week, in the First Presbyterian Church of San Antonio Drive in Long Beach, and on College Avenue Baptist Church in La Mesa, I met people from Tijuana, a pastor and a doctor. Both of them have received the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart through the radio ministry that I have there for about 8 or 10 years ago. And they said, when we heard over the radio that you were coming close to the border, we came just to say thank you for sharing Christ Jesus in your Spanish broadcast. You know, your heart thrills. I think you studied today in the Sunday school lesson, the reward of a pastor is that to hear that somebody, somewhere, because you said the word of God, God was pleased to reveal his son in their heart. It's such a joy. You can't believe it. And a lot of people in the Tate ministry in the South, the Pelletiers, have sent you a gift to you, and a lot of people shared checks with me to share with this church ministry. It is amazing, and how wonderful it is to when you have a panorama, when you get out of this little town and little America, and you go out and you see the panorama of the world in need of Christ, and how wonderful it is to have the opportunity through radio to share that. So God bless these people, and God, I'm thankful to you for allowing me to expand my life through the radio ministry, of which I believe is my great and highest call and gift to speak. All right, now that we're going to pray and study a verse of the scripture that I have not planned in revenge of what happened to our family this week. But this is planned 6 months ago. I planned my study 6 months ahead. I already had next year already planned and put it together in radio. Had to do it 2 years ahead. And I'm recording 6 months ahead in radio and so on. But I it's just funny, as my wife had the unhappiness of losing her purse and all the things she possessed in one strike in a restaurant. They are going to preach and thou shalt not steal. I want to tell you that this is not a revenge preaching. This is a planned preaching that God and his wisdom have put it together. Let's pray. Father, we are so glad that we are in the house of God. Thank you for the song Elenita just brought to us. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for the children that share from their heart. There is nothing better than to listen to children sing, because it's their heart that comes out. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us a church like this in which we can speak to one another with the heart of God. And now, Father, as we look upon the scripture, help me to convey your thoughts concerning these marvelous and wonderful 8 commandments that you establish for the world. Bless us as we meditate in thy word. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. Think for a moment. What is the crime most often committed within your community, within the world, within the nation? Probably the most common crime committed in any nation, in any community, in any neighborhood is stealing. So many people steal that stealing has become a very commonplace crime in society. If the thief does not assault or kill the victim, he is simply called a common thief in the law in the United States of America. It's so much stealing that stealing is no longer a crime. It's a common thief. A very commonplace, a very common crime in society. Now, if the thief does not really kill the victim, he just have a minor punishment. And if he has a good lawyer, he's on the street the same day he's taken in. Stealing is such an epidemic that it threatens the very foundation of society. Think for a moment. Government leaders who steal and misuse the funds of the nation, misusing our tax. Think for a moment, employees who steal from their employer by being sloppy in their work and by going around in their work and talking rather than working. Employers who steal through unfair wages. Dishonest athletes and famous people who steal. Acquaintances and neighbors who steal and are dishonest. People who steal by living extravagant and indulgent lifestyle, really doing things that do not belong to them. People who steal by taking so much of the earth wealth and resources that do not belong to them. Stealing shows a disrespect for property and for human life. It's very serious. It's more serious than what you ever think about it. Stealing leads to more and more lawlessness, sometimes even assault and murder just for stealing. Stealing always creates some vacuum, and it causes devastation in society. Stealing bankrupts families. Of course, you lose something when they steal from you. But in addition to that, the loss can be very painful and sometimes irreplaceable, like pictures. Object that has given to you as a memory of an event in the life of somebody. So the thief, sometimes more frequently than ever undetected, goes on and on and on and steal. Look in your Bible, Exodus chapter 20. In verse 15, look what the Bible says. Just striking. The Bible said, you shall not steal. This is what the Bible says. Simple. You don't need any interpretation there. Oh, you don't need any Hebrew to find out what the Bible says. You shall not steal. This is the subject this morning. God is very serious about your possessions. God is very serious about your possessions. So we're going to divide the thinking in three areas. First, who is to obey this commandment? Secondly, what is forbidden by this commandment? And then thirdly, what is my responsibility in view of this commandment? And may God help us to understand the fullness of the law of God. Number one, who is to obey this commandment? How long was this commandment to be in force? Was it only for the people of the ancient times, or is this for today as well? Stealing has been a problem for society as long as man has been on the earth. That's true. A serious problem. God gave these commandments because he cares for man so much that he wants to protect everything that concerns man, both his life and also his property. Frankly, it would be foolish to suggest that God was concerned with the ancient people and is no concern with you today. Don't you think it would be foolish? Would be foolish to think that this commandment was given to the Israelites, but stealing can be done today, is okay with God. Would be foolish to think in that way. If you notice the verse, the Bible is very clear. Exodus 20, verse 15, you shall not steal. This commandment is directed to you and to every person who will ever live on this earth. It was wrong to steal in the ancient world, a terrible violation against man and against God, and it is wrong to steal today in our society. So, this commandment is as good as when God wrote it on those tables of a stone. Number one, then, who is to obey this commandment? You and me. You and me. We cannot steal. How do you know it's today? Well, you have your Bible in Exodus. Turn your Bible to Ephesians 4 and verse 28. There you have a commentary on Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. If you move your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, then the Bible explained there Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. The Bible said in Ephesians 4, 28, let him that stole steal what? No more. Is that clear? I think it's very clear. In the Old Testament, the Bible said, you shall not steal. And the New Testament said, let him that stole steal no more, period. And so the commandment is to be enforced today. The address of the commandment is not only for Israel, which it was, not only for the ancient world, but carries on through the century. And as I said, as long as there is a man and a woman in this earth, the commandment said, you shall not steal. So far is good. Now comes the hardest part. And this is going to be very hard. I told the people in San Diego, I'm sick and tired of trying to preach kindly. I'm just going to tell them just exactly like it is. And we maybe lose some people. And we maybe gain some hearts. So you're going to hurt my heart on and on and on. It's going to be hard what I'm going to say. But I have to say it. What is forbidden by this commandment? It's going to be hard. Don't get upset with me. It's the word of God. What is forbidden by this commandment? You shall not steal. How is this commandment violated by God's people? All right, here we are. Number one, as President Clinton said, before you talk about a subject, you should define the words. So I'm going to define the words, all right? Because we can talk about stealing, and you think stealing is giving, and then we're lost. I was talking to a Mexican friend there in La Mesa, in Antonio, wherever you are. Mexico is a beautiful country that we love them. And he said one word, and I said, we were talking about the same thing with different words. We can understand each other. So I want to be clear. First and most, define the word stealing. The word stealing is the word ganav in Hebrew. And in Hebrew and in English means to take and keep something that belonged to another person. To take and keep something that belong to another person. That is stealing. I hope you agree with me. Number two, what's the cause of stealing? What cause somebody take an object that belongs to somebody else and keep it for himself? What is the cause of stealing? A stealing is a heart problem. It's not a society problem. It's not an environmental problem. It's not that people have need. Well, Adam and Eve have need at the very beginning of life. The cause is the heart. The source of stealing is the heart of an individual. The cause of stealing is found in the human heart. Stealing begins with a desire, a passion, a lust, an urge, a coveting within man. When the desire is planted, when it conceived and it is carried out, the person steals. Some of you love the book of James, so turn your Bible to James chapter 1. And listen to the word of God in verse 14 and in verse 15. The Bible tells here the cause of everything. James chapter 1 verse 14. Look at what the Bible says. James 1 verse 14 and 15. But every man is dry, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Don't blame San Jose. Don't blame somebody who told me, well, your wife lost the purse because you were in Oakland. No, she lost the purse because somebody have a heart without the presence of God. See, the Bible said we are tempted when the man is drawn on his own heart and his own lust and enticed, said the verse. Then, said the Bible, lust have conceived. And what happened? It bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. A psychologist cannot fix it. Why? Because a psychologist cannot fix the heart. A psychiatrist cannot fix it. Why? Because a psychiatrist cannot fix the heart. There is only one person that can fix the heart, and it's God. You want an example of this? Turn to Joshua chapter 7 in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21. Here is an example of coveting, desiring, just as James said, when we have a desire, an urge, and then we got it. Just right there. Joshua chapter 7. You know this story of Ai and the defeat of Israel army. The armies of the United States, as big as there was Israel, and they were defeated by a handful of people. And General Joshua, commander-in-chief, said, this is nothing more the sin in the land. Listen to the word of God in Joshua 7, verse 21. When I saw, here's a man confessing his sin. Here's a man confessing what he did. When I saw, he said, look at what he said. When I saw among the spoils, he said, a goodly Babylonian garment, when I saw that coat and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then, what the Bible said, the man is confessing. He said, I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of the tent, and the silver under it. I'm glad for the Lord at that time. He died, his family died. Because his family covered what he did. If you keep on reading, Joshua said, all right, put the guy over there, stone him and his family with his children. Nobody's going to steal anymore in Israel. And I think after that, everybody pay attention to it. So the cause of stealing, don't blame your city. Don't blame your neighborhood. I want to say this because I don't talk to you with a heart. those who are from Philippines, don't get offended what I want to say, but I say it. I told you, I'm no longer going to polish myself. I'm just going to tell you. Somebody in San Diego, La Mesa, came to me and said, I'm going to sell my house. Beautiful house. So why? So well, a Filipino family moved around me. And what's wrong with the Filipino family? He said, I have some Filipino people in my church. What's wrong with them? I need to know. So they cook very good. So what's the problem? He said, well, you know, he said, these Filipino people steal. The Filipino people steal? He said, yeah. Well, I said, where are you going to move? So you move to the next town, you're close to the border here. You move to the next town, you're full of Spanish people. Do they steal? Oh, yeah, everybody steal. Now I'm Spanish, hold it right there. you see, we're trying to blame the Filipinos, the Spanish, the neighborhood, the nation. Let's blame ourselves. We have a heart that is dirty, depraved, and wishes what is not ours. The heart of the problem, the matter is your heart. Number three, God's purpose for the commandment. Then God gave us a commandment. What's the purpose for the commandment? God's purpose for commanding people not to steal can be simply find out. It is to protect a person's property. That's why God put the commandment. To preserve peace among the neighbors and among society. Stealing causes loss, sometimes terrible loss to the victim. And stealing always leads to a hard feeling, a broken relationship, and sometimes revenge in some people. This commandment protects a person's right. What kind of right? For example, to feed your people, your house, and to clothe your people, and to provide for you and your family a lifestyle that you desire. We have to be free to do that. We do not belong. The state has no business in controlling how you live. You live independently of the state, and you provide for your family in the way that you and your family have agreed to live. You have a right to own property. This commandment protects a person's right to reap and keep the property and the reward of his labor, to secure enough good and money to help meet the desperate need of the poor. That's important. Listen to the word of God in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. Look at how Paul taught to the Greek people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Way to the right in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, said the Apostle Paul, these we commanded you, that if any will not work, neither should eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10. Boy, did we eliminate a lot of taxes from this. And I say it openly. Why should I pay for somebody who doesn't work? The Bible said, if you don't work, you don't eat. And there's plenty of jobs in America. I have a file like this in my office of people that call in my office saying, Pastor, do you have people to work? I said, send me a fax. And at home, I have 17 pages of fax of works starting at $17 and goes as much as $90 an hour if you're an engineer. They're all in my office. I only have to do is pick up the phone and tell I'm sending you somebody, and you get the job. It's a lot of work to do. Garbage collector, that's $60,000 a year. Come on. Look at verse 11. For we hear, said the apostle, that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but then busybodies. Some of you do not work. Wait a minute, the apostle said. Look at verse 12. Now then they are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread, not somebody else's bread. And when the welfare department give a penny, they are given a penny from my taxes, and I'm angry at that. And some people are so used to the welfare department that when you say you have to go to work, then they get mad with you.
And some people called my home and said, you have an ugly church and a cruel church that send people to work. Well, praise God. Say, tell it to everybody. Not only we send people to work, we find a job for you. God's purpose for the commandment is that you are protected. See how beautiful is God? He protects your spiritual life. He protects your physical life. Not stealing. Now it's going to get a little harder for the church. How is this commandment broken, violated? It's going to be a little harder. Stealing is not only a sin against society and the people stolen from. Stealing is a sin against God. Actually, the Bible said all sins are against God. So stealing is a sin against God. Stealing condemns a person to death, eternal death, unless the person repents and turns to God. For this reason, the various forms of stealing need to be looked in detail so that you check your life that you are no one who are stealing. And you in the church. Let me go over the list that I just made with my hand. By robbing a person in a store. I know you don't do that. But shoplifting. I used to be a friend of a man who was a general manager of Kmart. His wife got a problem, shoplifting. And he asked me, he said, I need help. He said, well, it's very easy. Your wife had to be saved. They treated in a, I don't know how many hospitals. And I went over there, remember Raquel? I went over there and I said, take her out of the hospital. Sit down with your wife here and let me tell you, you're a sinner. And she get mad. So you see, that's the problem. No hospitals, no drugs. But laughing on the job. You see people in the job. Not performing your work. By not paying the bills, you are stealing the other people's rights. That hurt you? I get mad if I say to somebody, you pay me this day and don't pay me. I get mad. They are using my right. I learned that from my uncle. See, when I started engineering in Argentina, I had no money. But my uncle had. And I said, no, you got the money, I got the brain. Why don't I borrow you $100,000? I'm going to buy this machine. Okay, so what day are you going to pay me? He said, I pay that day. Okay, interest, this. Okay, this is it. This is what you pay this day. All right? He expected. One day, I said, at 12 noon, I meet you for lunch in Buenos Aires. It was 2 o'clock. He called my mom and said, what's wrong with that boy? And here's your money. Oh, I told you at 12 o'clock, this is 2 hour delay. He calculated, now you owe me more. What did I learn? You're not paying the bills. You take it very lightly, but it's not lightly. No paying the bills is not a lie thing. It's a stealing from the person that the Bible said, if you borrow money, you are a servant of the one that you borrow. Actually, the Bible says you're a slave of the person that you borrow, and you should do what that person said. So before you borrow money, be very careful. By keeping something that you borrow, you steal. By failing to pay a debt. By not paying taxes. You're stealing, you don't pay taxes. I'm surprised some people don't pay taxes. How this be executed? If the taxes are here, you need to pay the taxes. By false or deceptive advertising. That's a stealing. By keeping an overpayment of excessive funds in a check. That's a stealing. I was so scared when I got my first check in America. I worked only one day. The next day was paycheck and they handed me $800. Oh, I said, this is unbelievable. That was 1965. So I don't know how to speak English. So I have an engineer from Holland who spoke French, German and English, and just a little French we get across is too much money. He went over there and tried to explain. He said, he want more? No, I don't want more. I said, it's too much. So he don't understand how much he makes. So your salary is $110 an hour. You work 8 hours. Here's your salary. Wow. I called Raquel. I said, we're okay. See, I started working. I don't ask for the job, for the money. I said, you try. I do the job. You pay me after I work. I don't want this. I said, how much you want? I don't want anything. I just want you. See, I was desperate. 6 months in the country without work. I work as a bricklayer at $7.50 an hour for a guy in Hayward. Remember, Mama? And I was laying bricks when somebody calls, there's an engineer right here. And I say, it's me. With the bricks and the thing. And I got the job. But I feed my family, and I never borrow from anybody to feed my family. By overcharging a price in something, that's a stealing. But no paying a fair wages. That's a steal. See, I don't like this minimum salary. That's a minimum salary. Maybe the guy needs only to be paid $2. I see some people making minimum salary $5 an hour. That's excessive. They should earn $1 an hour. But you see those guys on the farm. You go to Watsonville. You go to Salinas. You see those guys on the farm. They should be paid $15 and $20 an hour. Those guys could make only $5. See, this business of equal salary, come on, this is socialism. This is not the Bible. By not giving a full day work, that's a stealing. By unjustly extending business trips and company expenses. I'm careful in every detail when I fly for the radio, do this, have a page in detail. I did this at this hour, I did this, I spent this and this and this. Every detail is expended there. By abusing 6 days, somebody told me one day, I'm glad for the guys that work with me on the radio, but sometimes, once in a while, you get some that said, well, how many 6 days I have? I said, well, I think it's 10 days that we have, or six, I don't remember. He said, well, how many I have? I don't know. Why? He said, well, I want to take it. You're not sick. He said, well, but I lose them. No, you don't lose anything. We lose if you take those days. And in compassion, and compassion. He said, no, the law. No, the law doesn't say I had to give you 6 days. You know that? The law of the United States doesn't say I had to give you 6 days. It's the compassion of your boss. You should be very grateful to your boss. He's losing the money. Somebody is paying for you, my friend, if you don't work. When you arrive to work late, that's stealing. That's stealing. By taking things from an employer, that's a stealing. By not paying the tithe to God, that's a stealing. I'm going to read it for you. Don't look on it. Listen to me. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 7, even, said the word of God, Malachi 3, verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine, said the Lord, ordinance, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, say the Lord of hosts. But ye said, you people Israel said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? They were so crooked. Yet, said the Lord, ye have robbed me. And saying, what? Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Each time you keep in your purse money that belongs to the Lord, that is stealing. Boy, that we are careful. My wife, you know, Brother Jack is very picky. You don't put a bill in this church unless you have 200 proofs, otherwise he killed you. But I tell you something. My wife is the same. I said, well, I spend this and this. He said, let me see the receipts. That's good, because we have to give an account at the end of the month to somebody. And I noticed that in our checkbook, we can know where the week starts by the first check that my wife writes on the first day of the week, which is the tithe to the church. And I'm not repentant in doing that. Because the Lord has blessed me beyond I can explain. I work hard, but the Lord has blessed me beyond my expectations. But my wife, who carry the checkbook and carry the expenses in my home because she's better than me, and there's nothing wrong to do that, she knows that on the first day of the week, the Lord have the tithe And more than that, helps to this and helps the other. I came home and she said, well, I had to help the city ministry with 10 people for food, and I have to help the other and the other. And thank God that I had the money to do it. So you see, a person robs God when you live for yourself and not for God. That's the other thing. You steal with your life. If you're a Christian and you live only for yourself, you're stealing God. You have a gift. Some of you maybe sing very good. Why don't you use your gift in the choir? Otherwise, you are stealing God, the gift that He gave you. Think how serious is this commandment, you steal. Our brother Jack has the gift of accounting. Our brother Victor. And they use that gift to benefit our church. And I tell you, this is one of the most glorious church you can be on, because a business meeting is going to be in about 20 minutes. And you will know every detail, every penny, where they go, where they're going to go. Because we have people here who have gift and they use the gift for the Lord. Our brother Raj, we have graffiti in the back of the church. There's no more graffiti. I see my brother coming in and he said, well, I'm going to match the colors. What colors? I forgot that we have graffiti. And he says, he's on the ball. He painted this all beautiful, no more graffiti. In other words, there are people who have gift and they use those gifts for the Lord. They are not stealing from the Lord with their gift. You see that? What is my responsibility? Two. One. Exodus 20, verse 15. I should not steal. I should look into my life and say, Lord, where is something that I steal? I should not do that. That's my responsibility, one. The second one is very hard. Some people never learn this one. We must learn to be content with what we have. As you grow older, you learn more, hopefully. Listen to two scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 7 and 8. Listen to this scripture. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us, during the wind, be content. Somewhere, somehow, the heart says, I want more, I want more, I want more. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your behavior, your conversation, your conduct of life be without covetousness, and be content with such thing as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that fantastic? I know the companies in America, the television, they want to sell you something every day, every minute, every second. If you learn to be content, you will have money for yourself, you will have money for the church, and you will have extra. Extra. May God help us that we, the people of God, do not steal. Thank you, Father, for the counsel of your word. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Help us to review our life and take very serious this commandment so that we may walk in newness of life. We may walk with a clear mind and heart that we are no stealing from you. In Jesus' precious name we pray and thank you for what you're going to do in our life. Amen. Will you please turn to the hymn books quickly? We're going to sing one stanza of number 394. The second stanza, please, of number 394. And then after the pastor pray, I will greet some of you, and I will encourage to stay for the business meeting. Pastor is going to present a real change of ministry for the coming year. A real change, all over changes. And I want to enforce it with a strong hand so that we may serve the Lord with great power. Number 394, second stanza, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we pray that each one of us may take thy word seriously. We pray also for your mercy, because without your mercy and grace, we cannot survive. Oh God, help us to be men and women of integrity, that Jesus may shine in our heart and encourage others to look upon Christ. In his name we pray, amen.